We're talking about Ephesians, the next couple of readings that we have from the New Testament. They're going to be on Ephesians, so we're going to continue working through that. And this, I believe, will be a real encouragement to you. It's meant to be. And if you'd follow along, please, in the outline that you have, as usual, I put one in your bulletins. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and praise you that your goal for us is that we would feel safe and secure in you. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. Help us to do that. Help that to radiate from our hearts and our minds and our lives. It is to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. God's great desire for us is that his people would feel secure in his love and his power. And everything else in life is going to be unstable. That's just the way it's going to be, and God is working in this. I want to make something really clear from the onset, is that when you, and for most of us, for almost everybody in this room, I think, when you were a little baby, you were baptized, you were brought into the kingdom of God. Now, when that happened, you were brought into a very special relationship with God through Christ. And hear me out here, it is truly a beautiful thing. It is truly a beautiful thing that everything that God does, everything that God does is for the praise of His glory. Everything that God does is to the praise of His glory. Now, look at the last verse in your epistle reading. The very last verse in your epistle reading. Everything that He does is to the praise of His glory, and you are God's possession to the praise of His glory. This is a challenging thing. I want us to think deeply about this. God says that you are His possession to the praise of His glory, and God does everything to the praise of His glory. This is a really freeing perspective. This is really, really powerful. There's commentators. I was reading one commentator about Ephesians, and he was saying that this is like the Alps of the Scriptures. This is the high point. There's just, Paul is sharing just how amazing our God is, you know. And I think this helps us understand. It gives us a little bit of insight into Paul and why he suffered so much. Paul suffered a lot in his life. He went through an incredible amount of difficulties and an incredible amount of sufferings. Now, I want to read a section to you from the book of 2 Corinthians, which has a lot about suffering in it. And what Paul is doing in 2 Corinthians is he's trying to encourage the Corinthians and also himself as to how to deal with some of the difficulties and stresses. So he shares in this, having recently gone through a bunch of things. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. And that's not a metaphor right there. That was real. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That is a really freeing and powerful perspective to have. So let me just share in 2 Corinthians, so we kind of get a little bit of idea of what he's talking about. From the end of 2 Corinthians, he sums up some of the stuff he was sharing. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. Three times he had been in a shipwreck. A night and a day he had spent adrift in the sea. Frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from his own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights. Can you identify with sleepless nights? I can from time to time. In hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from all these things, there is a daily pressure upon me on my anxiety about all of the churches. So how can a man that is in such danger avoid not having a nervous breakdown? How is that even remotely possible? And then at the same time, the same guy, as he's an old man, he is looking forward to going to Spain so he can preach the gospel there. Here's what's happening. The stability and the power that the Apostle Paul has came from one great discovery. And this is it. God desires for His people that we would feel secure in His love and His power, even if everything else in this world is uncertain. And actually, God will challenge your certainty. He will challenge it. There will be things, for example, if you trust in your health, and you trust in the goodness of your health, I guarantee you, you will feel threatened at times. You will feel threatened and you will feel challenged. And if you put your security and your trust in your family, or in your job, or in your money, or in your education, you will feel threatened. Everything that happens in our life happens so that we would see that our security is not in these things, but only in God. It says in the text that He works everything according to the good pleasure of His will. Everything. This is a profound and amazing thought of faith. And things are not going to go well. They're not going to be perfect. And as a matter of fact, if you think about it, like we in Lutheran Church, we talk about law and gospel, right? We talk about the law, we talk about the gospel, and we like to separate the two. But stop and think about this for a second. Even the law that tells you, don't do this, and if you do this, this is going to happen, what that is sharing to you and what it's trying to communicate to you is that you need to trust in God. And sin, what is sin? But sin is where you will put something else before God. You will believe that you can trust in whatever it may be, and you'll put your hope and you'll trust in that. And so even that, He's all telling us and He's communicating to us. He says, I want you, above all things, to know that you can trust Me, that you can walk with Me, and to be sound and secure in God's love for you in Christ Jesus. And I think what we have this morning, the reason why I'm dwelling on this, is because Ephesians is one of the clearest statements of this of all of Scripture. And he makes this absolutely clear, and I believe, I really believe that there is a direct connection between believing God's Word and resting secure in His love and power. That is living to the praise of His glory. That expression, living to the praise of His glory, is only found in Ephesians, and it's only found in these sections of Scripture. This section that we're reading today. In the Greek, it's living to the praise of His glory. And Paul concentrates this on the incredible, wonderful, sovereign, beautiful direction of God in our lives. And taking that in and wrestling with that, trusting God, saying, God, You're able to do this. You're able to handle this. There's two great words that I want to finish up with, and I want to just bring them out to us. One is sealed, and the other one is guaranteed. So these are the foundations that Paul really wants you and I to be rock solid on when we think about our security in Christ. And the word sealed has three meanings in Scripture. I didn't put in your outline, but I'll share the Scripture verses with you if you're taking notes. The three meanings break down like this as far as the word sealed is concerned. The first one is Matthew 27:66. It's where Jesus was placed in the tomb. They sealed it. They put a seal on the tomb so you couldn't open it up. And so we have the idea of security. Revelation, they use the same word. Revelation 20:3. And in that one, they take Satan and they put him in this pit and they seal it shut so he can't get out. So it gives us the idea of security. The second way that you think about it, that Scripture talks to us about it, is in the way of authenticity. And authenticity is, it's used in with Abraham, where Abraham is an authentic relationship of faith with God. That was his relationship, that he trusted God, and God said, you are righteous because of it. As a sign of that authenticity, he circumcised his kids and his household. And circumcision was a sign of that. Paul picks up on that in Corinthians. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, you Corinthians are the seal of my apostleship. He says, you are the seal that I am your father in Christ, and that this is actually an authentic apostolic ministry. It's real. It's true. It's authentic. And then the third one that comes up in Scripture, it's to seal on your forehead to know that you are known by God. In Revelation, when literally everything is just coming unglued in heaven and on earth, the saints are sealed by God so that God knows exactly who they are. And it's sort of similar to the Old Testament. You've heard the story of Moses when they were in Egypt, and the Passover was coming, so they put blood over the doorposts. That was a sign that they were known by God, and the angel passed over them. And so it's a sign that God knows you. Now, it doesn't matter what one you look at. They all have, you know, a wonderful and similar meaning to them. But if you look at them and apply it to us, when you think about the fact that we are secure, think about the fact that when they put Jesus Christ in the tomb, the Jewish leaders were afraid that someone was going to come and say that he was stolen. And then they would spread a rumor that he rose from the dead. And so they asked Pilate, who was the ruling authority of the superpower at that time, to put an armed attachment there and seal the tomb. So they put a seal on it. Now, here's the thing. If somebody broke that seal, they answered to Caesar. They answered to the government. They answered to a higher authority who had the authority to seal that tomb. For you in your faith, if you worry about your life, if you worry about your salvation, if you worry about eternity, if you worry about anything, if you're not sure that God sees you or cares for you in your situation, you're so secure and you are so sound that if anything on heaven and earth tried to keep you away from the love that God has for you, they answer to God. That's what he's saying. He said, you've been sealed. You are secure. And he really wants us to get this in our mind. You think of the peace that can bring us if we would just be able to realize that we don't deserve this, but this is who we are. We are secure in him. When I think of the authenticity, this one really grips me. You know, the authenticity is the seal of the Spirit. And what it means is this, is that according to God's plan, the world is supposed to see Him in us. He's supposed to see Him in us and through us. And my desire, as your pastor, I think above any and every other thing that I would think for you and want for you, I would ask you to think about this. I would ask you very prayerfully, deeply, heartfully, constantly, think about this. And I know none of us are perfect in this. I know none of us get this right. But are we asking? Are we seeking? As men and women and children and boys and girls, that God would make us people of love. That He would make us people of love and to share that love and to grow in it. And I realize, like I said, none of us get this perfect. I don't. I fail at it miserably. But am I asking? Ask. He'll do it. He'll do it. If we ask and if we seek, this is what He's telling us. This is part of authenticity. Jesus said it to His disciples. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. And then he goes on to say, by this, all people, there is a universal language. It doesn't matter whether you speak English, Spanish, Chinese, Kwekwekwovab, Oshindonga, it doesn't matter. When we love and when we love in Christ, it touches people to the heart. through which God can move that is a sign of authenticity of the love that Christ showed on the cross. And we can't take away the first part. Remember, it's sealed, it's solid in Jesus Christ. When you remove that cornerstone, you got nothing. But when you build on that, you have something that is incredibly powerful. And it just speaks to my heart that every individual believer, all of us together as a church, and I praise God. I'm telling you, I hear this testimony from us, and it's a beautiful thing. I heard it last night at the concert. It's wonderful. So let us ask. Let us seek. God will do this. And I know that we do not do this perfectly. God asks us just to press into Him for what He has for us. And the seal that He knows us, is very powerful. And I want it to be an encouragement to you. The best example that I can possibly think is the example of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a scoundrel. And not only was he a scoundrel who pilfered money from people and stole, he also didn't have any looks. He was a short man. He was an ugly man. So this guy really didn't have anything to offer anybody. And this is the description that we have from him from Scripture itself. Now check out what Jesus did. There's probably thousands of people in Jericho that day from what we see in Scripture. We see there's just tons of people following him. Jesus goes out of his way to the very place where Zacchaeus had climbed a tree. And the most important thing of that story is Jesus knows his name. Jesus knows who he is. That to me speaks volumes, because Zacchaeus knew Jesus by reputation. Jesus knew exactly who he was not offended by him, was not pushed off by him. And he went to him and he called him out by name. And I'm telling you, just it transformed him. It transformed Zacchaeus. It moved him to be somebody that God saw him to be, but he did not see himself to be. And it made me think, God knows you. What do you hear him saying? What do you hear him saying to you? What's he speaking to you? What's the tone of his voice? How is he speaking it? Think about how Zacchaeus heard that voice. You know, and he's speaking that to you. We have to hear him as he wants to be heard. He wants to be heard through the cross, through the love of Jesus Christ, that it would inspire us to follow him and to serve him. And the last point I want to share with you is about a guarantee. I was trying to figure out, how do I explain a guarantee? What do I do with this? You know, and so I'm reading different things and stuff, and I shared it with my family yesterday, and I try not to use my family as examples, but this one was funny. It was good. I don't know if it's funny, but anyway, so we were in Namibia, and I decided to go on a rock climbing trip with my friend Kivet and my son Matthew. And in Namibia, when we lived there for many years ago, we would find checkpoints all over the place. Very common in foreign countries. Military checkpoints or police checkpoints. And you stop and you show them your ID, and that's the way it goes. You do that in the States. This time, as we were heading out of town, there was a checkpoint and there was an immigration officer at that checkpoint. And she was in a very bad mood and very fussy and very angry. And so she hauled us out of the car, and she said, where is your passport? We're not required to carry the passports. But she said, where are your passports? How do I know you're not an illegal alien? And I, you know, said, well, we're not, but she didn't believe me. And she threatened to haul us all downtown, take us to jail, which she had the right to do. The law can do that. So what we did was we agreed that I would leave my son Matthew as a guarantee. And I would leave him there at the checkpoint while I made the 10-minute trip back to our house to get our passports. And my friend Kivet, and I realize, unfortunately, in this analogy, Kivet comes out to be more like the Holy Spirit. Kivet might be offended at that. But he was there kind of watching over and caring, making sure Matthew didn't get in trouble. Because I'm not going to leave my son with somebody I don't know. And if I didn't get back in time, she could take him downtown and put him in jail. So he was there watching so that nothing bad would happen. They had to trust my promise that I knew where those passports were, that I would get them and I would come back in time. And for us, in the stuff that we experience in this life, most of which the reality is we have very little bit of control over it, it just happens. Where's your security? Where's your trust? This is what the Word of God and the promises of God are meant to be. They speak to our hearts to create faith, and sustain faith, where faith would that be normally? And we take those promises and we hold on to them, and it begins to help us see a God that cares for us and loves us in a way that's very foreign in this world, but very powerful and very helpful. And in that, it draws us together to be the people that God wants us to be. And I would pray, I'm so glad that as people at Trinity, we're all part of this together. It is really cool, and it is really a joy. And my heart's desire is that we would continue, whether it's concerts or pumpkin patch or music or whatever it may be, that we would continue to enjoy the goodness of God's presence and His love among us. In Jesus' name, amen.